any institution always has a reason for existing, a core purpose. Ours at St. Mary Parish is to bring Jesus to the center of the life of each family. And, in other words, help each other to do that. It's why we exist. But there's many things that we do, obviously. The most important, which is what we're doing right now at the Lord's table, the Eucharist. But in all of them, they're all directed at bringing Jesus to the center of the life of each family. And there's three core values that we've sort of adopted as this is. These are really important to us. Nothing really sums up everything that we do. These are really important to us, which are to encourage in faith, to speak the truth, and to take it to Christ. And when we say take it to Christ, what's the it? What are we taking to Him? Really, could be almost anything, but especially when we're in need of prayer, when we have something challenging and difficult, to take it first to Jesus and ask Him what He thinks about it. And so those three core, I guess, those are cultural values. These are things that we value. I think they describe us, but they're also aspirational at the same time, and that we can improve or do more, or the Lord can increase those here. But they do describe this parish, encouraging in faith, speaking the truth, and taking it to Christ. So just focus in on one of those. I want to talk about encouraging in faith. And the reason I want to talk about that is because Deacon Mark's preaching tomorrow, and that's what he's preaching on. He gave me his notes. So I'm just following his notes. But I told him, I said, if you can preach about one of these three parish values, like our cultural values, do it. Crowbar it in there any which way you can. He's probably going to do a much better job than I will. But he really focused a little bit on the second reading, where we hear of endurance and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you really look at the words throughout this reading, you can translate this as encouragement. And to encourage someone in faith really means to give them hope. Hope is the virtue associated with that the one that we love, the one that we believe in, we will eventually be united with. That we're going to make it to heaven. Despair, the opposite of hope, says, I believe in Jesus and I love Him, but I'll never make it. It's too hard. Hope says, it's going to be hard, but we're going to get there. Despite however hard it might be, we will get there. Despite however difficult the loss of summer may be, today's weather, my goodness, we'll get there. We'll make it. It's fine. I love it. As soon as Advent comes, I couldn't be happier because I love Christmas. So what we have is there are these things that give us endurance and hope. There's things that give us encouragement. But what St. Paul is saying here is we give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, and grateful for their work, their faith, their labor of love, and grateful for their endurance and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were enduring in hope because their hope was challenged, because they had to hope for a long time, because what they hoped for didn't just drop out of the sky right away. Have you ever hoped for something for a long time before receiving it, being able to be united with that person you hoped to see, or whatever it was? Hope is this has this enduring character. St. Paul says it describes the faith of these people in Thessalonica. And that also very well describes so many of you, or maybe all of you, in this parish. And he really, I think, in many ways, even characterizes this parish. The Lord wants, especially, and this is interesting, now that I've been a pastor, now that I've been a priest, and I know it's only been 3 years, but I can look out at any Mass, any given Mass, Sunday or daily Mass, and know so many stories out there, and so many of the challenges that you've faced with the Lord, and the Lord has given you the grace to overcome that challenge, to persevere in faith, to endure, for your faith to be how I can look out and sometimes know somebody's story. And sometimes I don't know, but I see you here, year after year. And I'm smart enough to know. I mean, I'm not super smart, but I'm smart enough at least to know. You've gone through some things. Your faith has been challenged, and you're still here year after year. That's endurance and hope. That's endurance and faith. That takes encouragement. And we are called not only for our faith to be to have this enduring character, but also to encourage one another in faith. And that's why, as a cultural value, like that's one of our core, one of our parish values. Now, I say again, I think we do this. It's descriptive, but again, it's also aspiration. It's also something we are aspiring to as well. It's challenging us. It's calling us outside of ourselves. It's a value that says, what are we going to do about it? And in this case, when it comes to encouraging faith, it takes the willingness to talk about our faith with each other. Is it possible to encourage someone else in faith without talking about yours? Almost impossible. I guess people can see your faith. But do they really know what you've been through? Now, some of them do. You don't want everybody to know maybe everything, every challenge in life. It is only in the context of sharing our faith with one another, and in the sense maybe our faith journey, that we really can fully encourage others in faith. Which is why recently we've been trying to have these, what we call the three conversations. And the three conversations are, I don't know why they're called that. It sounds so dramatic. What are the three? These are the only three that you need to have. What the three conversations are to encourage one another in faith are, first of all, telling your story, your faith journey, your testimony in a small group. So we actually kind of arbitrarily set up some small groups. Some of you have been in them. Some of you have heard about them. Some of you have no clue what I'm talking about, which is why I'm talking about it. Well, I'm talking about it for everyone's benefit. But in these small groups, some of them are arbitrarily formed, and some of them are like already stable small groups. And this has been kind of part of what they do. But to talk, and it's like a group of four or five people, maybe six or seven people, and to talk about, here's my faith journey. Like, here's what I've been through. Here's why I believe in Jesus. Here's why I'm still Catholic. Here's why I love Christmas. Here's why I hate Lent, whatever. All of these things. And what's been interesting is, as people have had this conversation, what's blessed people the most, I think, has been just to know that other people, perhaps they're not just some perfect holy person that never has struggles or doubts or challenges. And I thought, yeah, that sounds about right. And when you and that there was this vulnerability and willingness to say, this is what I'm going through in life. Now, I don't know the context for you of like who that conversation might happen with. It doesn't have to happen in an arbitrarily formed small group. But it can, and some people have really loved it. The second conversation is to ask somebody, how can I pray for you? And then to pray for them. And to go around the room and do that. And the third conversation is simply just a reflection on how is it that I can help bring Jesus to the center of the life of each family? That's our core purpose. And it can reflect on your own gifts, your own abilities. But also, like, the way that I do that is very different than the way some of you do that. I mean, I don't have my own kids. It's not my nuclear family that I'm helping to bring Jesus to the center of the life of that family. So it's going to be very different for those of you who are married with children. It's good. And even within that, there's so many different gifts and unique abilities and just talents your own personality, things that you have that other people don't, which make you blessed and unique to be able to help people know Jesus. And what to say that Jesus comes to the center of the life of the family, it means he's not just at the center of your life, but it's the public, if you will, the public sphere of your family. He's at the center. The culture of your family, he's at the center. And the atmosphere kind of changes the more he moves into the middle. The more he moves into the middle, the more other things are relativized a little bit here and there. Not totally obliterated if they're good, but they take on, and sometimes they're elevated, they take on a whole different character in there, much more meaningful. And so, I don't know how the Lord is going to provide an opportunity for you to encourage someone in faith, to give them hope, to allow them to know, hey, this is, our hope is not going to be disappointed. And I think that whenever, you know, speaking of hope and the virtue of hope and encouragement, again, the word encouragement meaning to give courage. Courage is associated with hope because just like fortitude and courage are basically the same thing. And that's the cardinal virtue of fortitude that's associated with the supernatural, theological virtue of hope. Those go together because when we don't have fortitude, we see a challenge, we see a difficulty, and we kind of just wither. If we have fortitude, we see a challenge, and we're going to walk, we're going to face it head on, we're going to go right through it. We might not feel good about it, or maybe we do, but we're going to face that challenge. Because we have hope. That comes to us really through the Holy Spirit. It's not because we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And we can't do it without one another. Ultimately, the body of Christ is here because you need to be encouraged and others need to be encouraged by you. That's not the only reason, but it might be the central reason of all. And that your faith, all lived in a private way, is going to be not as much of a blessing for people as if you share it with others. There are some opportunities that this parish always provides, hey, for that opportunity to share your faith. Like, hey, would you like to join a men's group or a women's group? Do you want to join the search? There's a Bible study. We're doing these arbitrary small groups for a few weeks. just literally for 3 meetings in some cases. All kinds of, you know, from Alpha to, I don't know what. I'm not going to remember all the opportunities now. But what we're doing with religious ed, which is open to everybody. That's not just a lecture and then you listen to the lecture, it's also people sitting in small groups and talking about real challenges that you face. And there are so many opportunities, but I would also say ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where and how am I needed right now? Who is here that nobody has come alongside of them and said, how are you doing? I mean, you don't have to make it sound like they're doing terrible. How are you doing? You know what I mean? I can do that. Are you okay? I hate that. Nobody wants to be asked, are you okay? But to just, in a very approachable way, to say, how are you doing? I'm not sure anybody would really mind that. And if they do, they can just say, fine, thanks. Go on their way. Is there a way in which you maybe can use some encouragement yourself? And it's weird to go up to somebody and ask them to pray with you. Not super weird when people come to the priest. I mean, people come to me after Mass. But there's only one of me. I would say start there if you need to. If you need prayer and you don't ask me for prayer, I don't know. I guess I might be a little bit upset about that. But I would hope, I would desire, and the Lord would desire. desire, more importantly, he would desire that you would want to do that for each other. It doesn't just have to be the priest. I realize the priest is a little more approachable with something spiritual. You might not want to be super vulnerable with somebody that you feel like you don't know. Ask the Lord, though. We need to ask the Lord. Who needs encouragement? Where am I needed? And if you're the one that needs the encouragement, okay, Lord. Who should I talk to? I think that I know that the Holy Spirit, He is the one who fills our faith, what we believe, with power, with dynamism, with life. It's animated, obviously. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit. Animated. And that dynamism, that life, is what that means is that there's always something new that he can say to you or to someone through you. And you actually have a connection to the Holy Spirit that you may not always exercise. God wants to speak, though, and he does. But we have to step out of faith, as we say sometimes, and ask for prayer or offer prayer. And then the Holy Spirit, in life, the Holy Spirit starts to flow. And we can really see why, more fully, why it's so good that Jesus called us to follow him. Not as individuals, but as St. Mary Parish. Encouraging each other in faith is a great gift. Here, it already is very alive and well here. And yet the Lord wants to increase it.